You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to superfans to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods, too, by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time, Book of Fire. Let's go! Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements on Apple Podcasts
or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
The other big culture war story right now is being pushed by people with actual political power, and it involves transgender people. Now wait, I know what you're thinking. Scary trans people? Isn't that a throwback from like 5 years ago? There was an outrage cycle around bathrooms. You remember that? They're gonna be kidnapping our children and wearing dresses while they poop! But even though none of that scary stuff actually happened, they've already kicked off an exciting new sequel.
It has become a new front in the culture war. Republicans across the country are pushing to ban transgender students, and often specifically trans girls and women, from competing in school sports.
It meant everything to me to be able to run, you know, as a gender with which I identify and to run as who I know I am.
I really just found who I am as a person, like, through sports.
More than 25 states across the country now considering anti-trans policies in school sports. Three of those states have already signed them into law. Republicans pushing for the ban have been unable to point to any evidence of a problem.
Will you cite any examples where a young woman was denied a scholarship opportunity or a title here in Arizona because they were competing against a trans athlete who outperformed them?
I can't at this point.
So the answer was no?
At this point, no. But it's only a matter of time, in my opinion.
It's only a matter of time. You know what I love about Republicans? Is that when it comes to major issues with tons of evidence, like climate change or coronavirus or gun violence, they're like, huh, let's wait until we see more evidence. But now there's an issue that barely even exists. And they're like, we don't got time for evidence. There's a plastic trophy at stake. Now, the one thing that people making these laws always point to is a single story from Connecticut a few years ago. That's not evidence that trans kids are stealing opportunities from everyone else. Aunt Becky's kids have taken away more slots on sports teams than trans kids. Honestly, I think conservatives are missing the entire point of youth sports in the first place. Because it's not really about the tiny minority of kids who will go on to get scholarships and perform at an elite level. It's not about that. It's about kids achieving their personal best, developing good habits and self-esteem, and learning to bully the chess team. And culture warriors say these laws about trans kids and sports are just about being fair to the other children. But the truth is, it's not stopping there.
In the state of Arkansas, the state just became the first to ban gender-affirming medical care for transgender kids, even with parental consent.
In Alabama, there's a bill that would make it a felony, punishable by up to 10 years in prison, for a doctor to prescribe gender-affirming medication for trans people under age 18.
A similar measure before North Carolina's General Assembly, as some lawmakers look to ban gender-confirming treatments for people under 21. The bill would prevent doctors from providing gender-confirming hormone treatment, puberty blockers, or surgery.
Senate Bill 514 would also compel state employees to notify parents if their child displays, quote, gender nonconformity.
No, man, you guys are playing. So North Carolina is going to make its school employees snitch on kids anytime that they don't, quote, conform to their gender? What does that even mean? Conforming to your gender? Like, I caught up late with the other boys in school. So what? You're telling me that if I was in this system today, my gym teacher would be on the phone with my mom? Hello, Mrs. Noah. Yeah, no, we need to talk. Eh? The way Trevor is throwing a ball. No. More like Tracy Noah, eh? Yeah, no, I have to snitch. Sorry about this. Guys, this is not just transphobic. It's also sexist and everything else, right? Because these Republicans act. They act like all they care about is the health and well-being of the kids. But it kind of gives the game away when they start adding on stuff that's basically just, and don't play with dolls or we'll tell your mom. And look, I'm not a doctor, right? As I found out when I tried to take out my cousin's appendix. R.I.P. Ngosinati. But these Republican lawmakers are also not doctors. And people who are doctors see things very differently.
Major medical organizations such as the American Medical Association and the American Academy of Pediatrics oppose the bill.
With alarm and dismay, pediatricians have watched bills through state legislatures across the country. It threatens the health and well-being of transgender youth.
Young people, when they reach a certain age, if they have gender dysphoria, which means that they experience mental duress because they are transgender, might not want to go through puberty. And so their doctors might prescribe them puberty blockers so that they don't have to go through puberty and can make a decision when they're older about whether or not they want to medically transition.
Me turning into a man is just probably the most horrifying thing ever I could ever think of in the farthest reaches of my mind is me not going on the hormone blockers anymore. The hormone blockers are like my lifesaver.
So look, medical professionals and trans people themselves say that treating kids early can be extremely beneficial, which makes you wonder what's really behind all of these laws. If you ask me, it's hate. Yeah. A lot of these people are angry because trans people don't conform to a neat idea of gender. And as humans, we like things when they are neat and organized the way we want. It's why people got so mad when they said Pluto wasn't a planet. Well, if it's not a planet, then what is it? Well, actually, it's a rocky Kuiper belt body that straddles the line between I'll kill you! But as scared as some people might be by the idea of a trans person, it is nothing compared to how scared trans kids are dealing with problems that they don't always understand in a world that oftentimes does not accept them. So if these states are going to be passing laws to help anyone feel safer, it should be them. My guest tonight is a writer, director, and producer of the new FX series, Pose. Please welcome Janet Mock. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
This is a really exciting reason to have you back as well. The new show, Pose, which is going to be on FX, is a show that is first in many ways. I mean, I know why I'm excited, but what would you say is the biggest reason you're excited about Pose?
I got a job.
Is that simple? I like
yes,
that.
Yes, yeah, basically. Well, you know, Ryan Murphy created it.
Right,
he's a prolific showrunner. Shows like Glee, Nip Tuck, of course, The People versus O.J. Simpson, uh-huh. where he won a lot of Emmys and all the trophies. And so when he invited me to Hollywood to have a meeting with him to talk about this show, I was excited by the fact that it would be the first of its kind to talk about the New York City ballroom scene, which a lot of people have known since Paris is Burning.
Right.
But to also center characters and people who have never been centered before, trans women of color.
Right. And that's what's really fascinating about this story is that you have a show that is set in the 80s, but it's showing you a story in the 80s that many people maybe didn't know exist or many people didn't know exist but just didn't think about. And what I found fascinating about watching pieces of the episodes was that a lot of people will say about transgender people now that, where did this come from? This is a new thing, this new thing, as if it's like a trend. Yeah. But you go, no, trans people are as old as time.
Was it really important for you to be able to tell these stories as authentically as possible in the 80s?
Yeah, I think that there is something about the fact that when you look to the past, you can learn a lot about your present. For me, I saw that, you know, HIV, AIDS, poverty, harassment and violence are things that, you know, they were dealing with in 87 as well as today. And so knowing that 26 trans people were murdered in the United States last year, almost all of them women of color, I thought it was important that we memorialize the people who we've learned so much from, the people who contributed so much to our movement, the people who have given me access to be able to be, you know, the first trans woman of color to be hired in a Hollywood writer's room, the first to write and direct a television series, and to be on a television series and to share it with five black and brown trans women of color who are the stars in the center of our show.
It's a pioneering show for so many reasons. You know, you have five trans women of color who are centered in the story. Mm-hmm. The word centered is so important in this because, you know, I read a story on The Hollywood Reporter about how they did a study on Latino characters on TV, and they found that half of them were always represented as criminals. Mm. And when you look at stories of the transgender community, it's always a fringe element. You know, in so many stories, it's always going to be sex work, or it's going to be something that seems like it's not in the mainstream. Mm. Was it important for you to center these people and show the spectrum of life that you can be living?
Yeah, I think so often, too, we're often always in cisgender stories, non-trans people stories, as a sidekick, as someone who's a martyr who dies in order to teach a cis person about what it means to be real and authentic.
Right.
And in our show, we center that experience, and we don't show the origin stories of our characters. We show them as they're fully embodied, just trans people living in New York City. And with that, you have diversity. You show that trans folk are not a monolith, that we don't have the same dreams and desires, that we read and shade one another, that we can be villains as well as, you know, protagonists.
Right.
And I think that for me, as someone who loved television, who grew up as TV being a part of, like, my babysitter in a single-parent household, it showed me that I can be centered and that I deserve to be seen and heard, and that at the end of the day, the show really is an unconventional family drama.
Right, and we see so many stories of people watching TV shows or movies mm-hmm. and for the first time seeing themselves on screen. You know, you saw that with Ava DuVernay's Wrinkle in Time, you saw that with Black Panther. You mm-hmm. see it with people going, I've never ever thought of how I've never seen myself. You know, I remember going to watch Wonder Woman with friends, and my female friends were like, they were crying during the fight scene because they're like, I've never seen women just kicking men's asses, which is really amazing. And you take that for granted. You genuinely do. When you were growing up watching TV, were there any characters or any shows that in some way maybe did make you feel like, you know, there was something that you could aspire to? And, you know, was there something that really touched you?
Felicity. she really was the reason why I moved to New York City and went to NYU. It was literally because I saw this white girl with curly hair who
that
was smart
hilarious.
And lovelorn and wanted to be with, you know, Ben. That's all I wanted.
Right.
And so now, Team Ben.
Right.
On.
And now you're in a place where you're not writing. And I think, do you feel that gravity of putting people on screen that identify people out there who maybe have never seen themselves on screen in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah, the fact that we have love stories on our show, the fact that we're not just merely points of trauma, right? Because so often trans bodies are usually dead and inactive bodies. And so here we have five women who have different dreams, who have love, who want desire, who want to be desired,
right.
Who are funny, who are villains, who are all of these different things. And so in that way, when you center these people on the show, you show people that, number one, it's not scary, that they're not horrible people, that they're not freak shows, that instead they're humans that you care about. And TV being such an intimate platform, you know this, people invite you into their home every night.
Right.
You know, they get to know you and they love you and they're invested. And I hope that it doesn't only educate and inspire and entertain, but it also moves people to care and hopefully do something.
I think it's going to do all of those things. Thank you so much for being on the show again. Sundays at 9 p.m. on FX. Janet Mock, everybody. We'll be right back.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to super fans to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods too by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go! Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on Apple Podcasts
or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, what is it that scares so many people about transgender communities? And what's it like to live as the focus of that fear? Jessica Williams finds out.
Iowa is most famous for its cornfields, butter sculptures, and butter sculptures of cornfields. Until last summer, when transgender woman Megan Taylor tried to check in to the Drury Inn in the city of Des Moines. We sat down with Taylor herself for an exclusive tell-all.
I could tell when I checked in to the hotel that it was.
Shh, I got this, real Megan Taylor. It was July 12th, 2015. You presented your ID to the hotel manager.
I have a reservation.
But she was on to you. Fearing for her life, she took immediate action.
I have somebody that's a little unusual that's checking into the hotel, and they're dressed as a woman, but it's a man's driver's license.
And that's when the cops came, and all hell broke loose. But let's rewind here. What triggered the cops to respond?
You pull out a gun, and then the cops come, and you're arrested?
And none of that happened.
What, you pull out a knife?
No.
What, you do drugs?
Nothing of the sort.
Well, then why the hell were you arrested?
I got arrested because I was a black transgender woman.
Specifically, cops held her because she didn't have a prescription for her hormone pills. And this is 2016.
What were you doing in Iowa?
I was there going to a funeral.
You were there for a funeral?
Yeah.
And did you get to attend the funeral?
I didn't get
at least?
To make the funeral at all.
How long were you in jail for?
I was in jail for 8 days.
I'm sorry,
it's terrible, take your time.
Ugh, I thought it was tough being a black woman. But compared to a black transgender woman, I might as well be a white frat dude at a Dave Matthews concert.
Transgender women get arrested all the time, especially black transgender women, just by walking down the street or anything.
And by anything, she means literally anything. Because of discrimination and profiling, at least 47% of black trans people will have at some point in their lives been incarcerated. Let's underline bold and set fire to that graphic, because it's 47%. You'd think there'd be laws to correct this. But instead, this year alone, state legislatures have introduced 175 anti-trans bills. Many make it legal to discriminate based solely on religious beliefs. And then you have these bathroom bills.
They would fine and imprison transgender people who use public restrooms that don't match the gender on their birth certificate.
That's what's really triggering this trans panic. Just listen to Colorado Representative and Elmer Fudd lookalike, Gordon Klingenschmidt.
Should we fear the transgender community?
Well, they not only want to be confused about their own identity, but they want the rest of us to be confused with them. Now they want the government to join them in that pretense. They're making us into liars.
Wow.
Okay, I met with these so-called liars to find out what their evil intentions are.
There's a notion that trans people are perpetrators in some way, that we're sneaking and trying to trick you for the purposes of having sex with you.
And that's not the case at all.
People just want to see male and female like it has to fit in one of those two boxes. And if it doesn't, it makes people uncomfortable. And
it's surely not a choice.
That's all you need to know.
Well, not according to Klingenschmidt, who thinks that we're all going to get attacked in the bathroom.
A man can go into a ladies' room and assault you and your little girl.
Especially in our most important bathrooms.
Next time, ladies, you go out to Olive Garden, watch out who's going to be in the bathroom.
There's no reported incidences of any trans person ever raping or assaulting anyone in any bathroom ever.
If anything, trans people are the ones getting assaulted.
These people are up against some bull. There must be some small way I can help them out.
Give me some offensive comments or questions, and I'll give you some good answers that you can use in your day-to-day life.
Why are your feet so small?
Oh, you think my feet are small?
Yeah, but...
Wow. Woo. Okay. That's guns a-blazing on that question. I don't currently have a... So...
How much?
How much for...
Sex.
Oh,
How do you have sex?
So your parents ashamed of you?
What's the gender marker on your ID?
When do you tell them that you're really a man?
I don't know, when it's appropriate.
Do you have cadaver tits?
Don't tell me what that is.
What's your real name?
Yeah, I just want to know.
Yeah, what's your name? Tell us.
Did you chop it off?
Do straight women date you? Or
how
gay
much
women?
The cost?
Do you like to suck?
What's your real name?
The transgender community is more oppressed than I could have ever imagined. So why does Gordon feel so threatened?
Have you ever been attacked by a transgender person? Is that why this is happening?
No.
Have you ever had a traumatic experience with a trans person?
I wouldn't call it traumatic, no. I
devastating?
No.
You haven't?
So why does he feel this way?
Dressing like a woman, and he's not a woman.
Wait a second, this guy's a preacher too? And he thinks what?
It's not just a psychological disorder, it's actually a demonic spirit.
Okay, so now they're possessed? Go on.
I would be comfortable talking about religious freedom, but I'd have to change into my alter ego if you're okay with that.
You have to change into your alter ego? Who are you, Lady Gaga? Go on ahead and change.
Okay, hold up. Is everybody seeing this? I am actually waiting for this man to transition so that he can feel more comfortable during our interview. Oh, and also, hey, heads up, I am not judging him for his personal choice. Until he took out his phone to judge others for their personal choices.
And Deuteronomy 22:5 says, a woman must not wear men's clothing, nor a man wear woman's clothing, for the Lord your God detests anyone who does this.
I don't remember that part, but there is a part about shellfish mm-hmm. or stoning people mm-hmm. to death.
Getting mm-hmm. tattoos.
But what about their sincerely held religious beliefs?
They can go in their hat because we have separation of church and state. Because we believe in our Constitution.
Nevertheless, these bathroom bills are being passed, and Gordon is doing everything he can to make it happen.
Get used to the idea of having your women and children share bathrooms with cross-dressing men who are going to expose themselves to you.
Do you, for whatever reason, associate being transgender with being a pervert?
I mean, that is perversion. It's people who label themselves as transgender for the purpose of getting that access to violate the rights of others.
Is it fair to say that because you're a priest that you're a pedophile?
Well, of course not.
Why is it of course not? Why?
Because some people are criminals and some people are not criminals.
Could you take that logic and apply that to the transgender community?
They're apples and oranges.
By apples and oranges, do you mean apples and apples?
Unfortunately, a lot of people think like Gordon. So how can we end this transphobic epidemic?
Hopefully they can understand that we are striving towards becoming a more authentic version of ourselves after a lot of soul searching and a lot of thought and sometimes a lot of trauma and tragedy.
Passing these bills is absolutely going to just add fuel to the fire and ignite trans panic. Trans panic, panic, panic.
Coming soon. They've existed since the beginning of time. They are not who people think they are.
Girl, you know we need to elevate that leg.
They come out at night.
Stop, no!
Or during the day, depending on their schedule.
You forgot your hat.
They have an appetite. When they're hungry.
You're really gonna love this salad.
This summer, get ready for the most boring movie ever. Where transgender people cause trans panic. Ah!
Lights went out again.
Even though they're just like the rest of us.
What else is on Netflix?
Yeah, just like us.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests from creators to cast to superfans to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on Apple Podcasts.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pride Month is coming to an end today, but that doesn't mean the conversations around gay and trans rights need to stop until next year. So to keep the conversation going on our end, I want to introduce Veronica Ivey. She's a transgender rights activist who is the first out trans woman to win a track cycling world championship. Please welcome Veronica Ivey. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, I'm going to say from the top, because I've noticed this happens in every conversation, every time you bring up trans rights, or if you have a discussion and you say trans, people tense up. I understand why. We live in a world where now there are people who are so transphobic that it makes it almost impossible for people who aren't to ask any questions, to have any conversations, to have any discourse that doesn't lump them in with transphobia. And so I'm really glad that you're joining us on the show to talk about this, because it feels like one of the biggest issues in America, yeah. And yet no one can seem to talk about it. So let's start with your journey. You've competed at some of the highest levels in sport. And you know, as your hoodie says, sport is a human right. That is what you believe in. Talk me through just a little bit of why you believe fighting for transgender athletes to compete in the categories they'd like to in sport is so important.
So it's a fundamental tenet of like the Olympic movement that sport is a human right. So in their Olympic charter, in their fourth fundamental principle of Olympism, they say participation in sport is a human right, and they mean that at the competitive level. Mm-hmm. So this issue, people like to say that it's a complicated issue, and I don't actually think it is. I think it's very simple. It all boils down to, do you actually think that trans women and intersex women are real women and are really female mm-hmm. or not? And if you do, it's very simple. Just stop policing who counts as a real woman, because this has had history of racism built into it over the years. It's not an accident that the intersex athletes who get singled out are women of color from the global south, because who gets singled out for scrutiny is based on white women's conceptions of femininity. And that's being weaponized against trans people too. So it's a fear of protecting the fragile, weak, cis white woman from the rest of us.
So there are many elements to what you said, which I appreciate. So let's try to break them down. One thing that confuses me personally is it seems like we have discussions about who should participate in which category and how. You know, on the face of it, it seems simple, as you say. You know, if somebody identifies as a woman, if they're transgender, they can compete against women who were born biologically, and then if not, then not. But then there are many who would argue who are not transphobes. There are many who born biologically women who will say, but you have an unnatural advantage over me, and that makes the sport unfair. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, there's lots of ways you can respond to that. So the first is the very language of you were born and I'm not biological somehow, like I don't think I'm a cyborg. So like this idea that like, oh, you're not a biological woman. Well, I am a woman, that's a fact. I am female, so all my identity records, my racing license, my medical records all say female, mm-hmm. right? And I'm pretty sure I'm made of biological stuff. So I'm a biological female mm-hmm. as well. So this question of, do trans women have an advantage over cis women? We don't know. In fact, there's basically no published research on this question. However, there's good reason to think that there isn't, but I think it's irrelevant because we allow all kinds of competitive advantages within women's sport. So one example I love to talk about is the 2016 Rio Olympic women's high jump final. First place was over 6'3", 10th place was 5'5". So a 10 and a half inch height difference between first and 10th at the Olympics in high jump.
Right.
And we call that fair.
Okay.
So the range of body types within the female category is way, way bigger than anything that could be attributed to trans women. Uh-huh. So if there's an advantage, and I'm not saying that there is, for trans women in women's sport, it's not an unfair advantage. But also, we've been trying to compete at the highest level for decades. We've been allowed to compete for decades. And no one has won an elite world championship. No one has won an Olympic gold medal. This Tokyo Olympics was the first time trans women even qualified for the Olympics. Mm-hmm. So this idea that trans women are suddenly going to take over women's sport is an irrational fear of trans women, which is the dictionary definition of transphobia.
So it's interesting that you say that, you know, because it's interesting that you say that, because I think if I were to push back, or you know, even not even playing devil's advocate, there are a few things that could be argued. Number one, you could argue that although the trans woman who competed in the Olympics didn't dominate, she did beat a field of women who might have qualified for that position, right? Secondly, when you talk about the height differences, I agree with this completely. But there are many who would argue that we exist in a state where a lot of the surgeries are new, a lot of the technology, just the technology is new. Transgenderism is not new. We know it throughout time, we've seen it throughout history. But there are many who would say, how do we ensure that we are creating some sort of standard? And the reason we talk to this is, you know, we talk about this is, it's the reason they have to regulate performance-enhancing drugs. For instance, what is fair? What can you drink? What can you not drink? What can you consume? What can you not consume? Some would say, if you are born that way, that's how sport has determined who goes where. And then some would say, no, regardless of who you are, you should be able to compete. My question then comes in from a really, honestly, a different place. I look at somebody like Oscar Pistorius from South Africa, right? He was the double amputee.
Yep.
And Oscar Pistorius actually went, well, I want to compete in the able-bodied race, mm-hmm. right? And people were like, well, do you have an advantage? Do you not, et cetera, because of the prosthetics. But then could there not be an argument, if there is no advantage in that, that then trans women should be able to compete, but in the men's races then, because they'd still be able to compete in the sport?
But they're women, and they're female. So, like I said, this boils down to, are trans women really women? Are they really female? Because if you think yes, then we belong competing with other women. So it's an extreme indignity to say, I believe you're a woman, except for sport, right? So mm-hmm. you can't single out one of the most important facets of our society. We are obsessed with sport. Athletes are some of the most highly praised, highly paid people on the planet.
Definitely.
So you can't say that, like, I believe you and I support you, but not for this one really big thing that society really cares about.
Right. And I'm saying I get confused by why we distill it down into just two things. I'll tell you why. As we learn about gender being a spectrum, as we learn that people can identify in a multitude of ways, we accept the fact that we don't have to put people into categories of man or woman. You know, that's why they say protect trans women. It's like, otherwise, which women are you protecting? It's an argument that doesn't separate or diminish anybody, but gives more specificity to what people are saying. And so when we talk about these things, I sometimes get confused by why we're trying to force the people into two again, when we've been taught that there isn't a two. Whereas a sport like, let's say boxing, for instance, in boxing, people fight across all weight categories. Mm-hmm. They don't just go men's boxing, women's boxing. They go, no, men, heavyweight, super heavyweight, and then they'll be like middleweight, bantamweight, flyweight, featherweight. There's like guys who weigh nothing punching each other. And I mean this genuinely. I've always thought to myself, it's interesting how in boxing they went, well, we don't just want to see guys fighting. We want to see guys fighting at different weights. The UFC does the same thing. They go, you're going to fight in your weight class, which has, it seems crazy. How can you break it down? And yet it's worked. And so I wonder if you've ever considered, and I'm not saying it's your job, by the way, but if you've ever considered a world.
It kind of literally is.
Oh, then great. Have you ever considered a world where it becomes more specific then? You know, the same thing they did in the Paralympics. They had to find a way where they classified how a single amputee could run against somebody who's partially blind or a double amputee, and how do we grade that? So, do you not think that we're limiting ourselves by saying men's sports, women's sports, when we now know that there's so many more genders?
So I'm really going to dissatisfy you right now.
Well, you don't know what I'm looking for, though, so you can't.
I do. I know you're looking for something other than what I'm going to say, and that is a very important question uh-huh. and a very difficult question, but it's a separate question. The question we're talking about is, given how sport is currently structured, mm-hmm. should we include trans women and intersex women in women's sport? And my answer to that is a clear yes. If you want to say, should we revisit how we structure all of sport? I would say, yeah, we should do that. But if your only reason for doing that is because you can't just accept trans women or women, that's a problem I got with you.
I understand. And I'm not saying it's
not because with you
personally. No, I hear what you're saying. No, I completely hear what you're saying. So let me ask you this then. You know, again, eliminating fringes, because everything on the internet becomes fringe. Everything becomes a fight and an argument. If somebody comes to you in good faith, and I mean genuinely good faith, and they say to you, you know, Veronica, I was born a woman, raised a woman. I've suffered or lived and experienced life as a woman. This is where I am. This is where my body has gotten me to. I've grown as a woman. My body has had the testosterone or estrogen that it had to get me to this point, and that's why I am here. And I feel like you may or may not have the advantage, but we don't know yet. So why can't we wait to know these things before you compete against me? How would you respond to that?
Because that's not how human rights work. So the way human rights work is that the default is inclusion and the burden of proof is on the people seeking to exclude, not the people seeking to include. So I want to share something shocking with everybody. It wasn't until 5 years ago that we actually studied the relationship between natural testosterone and performance, and we found that there is no relationship whatsoever between unaltered, natural, endogenous testosterone and sport performance. About 0.5% of elite male track and field athletes at the world championship level are below the women's average of testosterone. Competing with men with 80 to 100 times as much testosterone at no competitive disadvantage. And that fact has not been picked up by the broader media landscape. So when you say I'm a woman and I have this much testosterone, well, first, there's a huge range within women.
Definitely.
Into the male range. And there is no relationship between her having a competitive advantage over women with lower testosterone. So there are elite cis men with low testosterone, lower than a given woman, who's out-competing her. Mm-hmm. So our bodies and biology is not this simple. We thought it was, and it isn't. So we know that when you add testosterone to your natural levels, like doping, you tend to get bigger, stronger, faster. We also know that when you drop your testosterone levels, like trans women tend to do, mm-hmm. you tend to get slower. But what your natural level is has no relationship to your sport performance. And we've been singling out that factor, testosterone, against the scientific evidence.
But I'm a little confused, and forgive me if I'm slow to understand this. You just said the natural level doesn't give you an advantage or a disadvantage, but you said if people do have an addition or a subtraction of it, then it does give you a disadvantage or an advantage.
Well, it affects things. So for example, like my body doesn't produce testosterone, and it hasn't for a decade. But I switch sports from a road cycling event to a track power event, mm-hmm. and I switch training, and I put on 25 pounds of muscle, and I went from being able to squat 170 to 375. So I don't produce any testosterone, and I squat a lot. And that's just because I changed training. Mm-hmm. So it's not so simple as, okay, if you drop your testosterone, you will get weaker. Because if you change your training, your diet, your rest and recovery, your sport, your performance can change.
Your body will change. It seems like we're always going to end up in a cul-de-sac because many people use it as a cudgel, I've realized, to scare people. Oh, the transgenders are coming for you, your bathrooms, your sports, your everything. Be careful what you say. But it feels like there are many discussions to be had. It feels like, as you said, you know, the research, the science, everything hasn't caught up. But I appreciate you for coming on the show and discussing this with us. Thank you so much for joining me.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Jump into the epic world of Avatar: The Last Airbender
with Nickelodeon's official companion podcast, Avatar: Brave and the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Listen to Avatar: Brave and the Elements on Apple Podcasts
or wherever you get your podcasts.